Hey, Barb, how do you make a waterbed more bouncy? You put spring water in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we look at what I consider to be the conclusion of the Beatitudes. We've been at this for a while. And that's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Now in my Bible, there's a space between verses 12 and 13. Indicating a new subject or an idea. Perhaps there should not be one, because those spaces are just in there randomly. That's not part of Scripture. That's what we decided. For me, it's easy to see these four verses as a summary of the Beatitudes instead of being the beginning of a new teaching. Specifically, Jesus tells us why our living the Beatitudes not only matters to us, but why it matters to the world. It is surely important for us to embrace the Beatitudes, but it is just as important to the world that they see us embrace the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you live the Beatitudes, and they are this, if you are humble, if you mourn, if you are gentle, if you desire righteousness, if you are merciful, if you are pure, and if you are a peacemaker, then you will be blessed by God and persecuted by men. But you will also be a blessing to this world. Living for the lost, living the Beatitudes for them, is half of why you are still here. Why we live the Beatitudes, we bring light to a dark and shadowy world. If we do not, then we are at best disregarded by men as one who would step over a grain of salt without further consideration. If we do not live the gospel, we mean nothing to this world. We aren't even worth persecuting, as our actions convict no one. We make ourselves insignificant outside of these walls as we cease to preach the gospel when we cease to live the gospel. God has chosen us. He's chosen you to be a reflection of his light. Question is, how brightly do we shine and how clear is the image? Have we shown them a whitewashed version of ourselves wearing a Jesus t-shirt that we can disregard whenever stress is applied? Or do we shine even brighter when subjected to heat and to friction? On average, we Americans get to travel around that sun 78.6 times. Men 76 times, women 81. Don't seem fair, but we'll live with that. We don't make these trips for nothing. Each time around, we should become closer to the image of Christ. And at the end of each trip, we should reflect the light of Christ even brighter. We should evolve as we revolve. For us, every day is an adventure in sanctification, and time always has a purpose in the kingdom of heaven. We are not simply hurtling through space on a ball of iron and dirt to our own demise. We're going through space at 67,000 miles an hour, heading towards our perfection in Christ. And the Beatitudes are a good measure of how far you come and how far we have to go. While we are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are also representing his grace to a world that doesn't know it or him. We are here to grow, and we are here to glow. whatever else you think that you're here to do, whatever else occupies your mind, it is subject to those two things. As Solomon said, everything else is vanity. Most of us silently questioned God's judgment regarding us using me to light this dark world, because we know ourselves. We know how dark we can be when things don't go our way, or how dark we can be even when they do. We know that our light is on a dimmer switch that can be turned down simply by applying pressure in the right direction. We ask our God, are you sure this is how you want to do this? Like Moses did when he was called to task by God, we suggest that God use someone else. And through his word, God answers with an emphatic, yeah, I'm sure. Now get out there and start shining. Consider these three passages regarding our call and duty to shine the light of Christ in this world. What living the Beatitudes will do, not just for you, but for this poor, sad world. Start with John 12:35-36. Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. They're lost. They're stumbling around. They have no direction. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. You must believe in the value of the light of Christ. To believe it, you must know that it's true, because our faith is reasonable. You cannot force yourself to believe something that you know is not true. You just can't do it. You must know what you have and its importance to this world. If you don't believe in your heart that you are the reflection of Christ, then you will shine on for others only on Christmas and Easter. We shine because we believe. Because we believe in the power of the light of Christ. And we know what Christ meant when he said in John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Believe that this light can prove the truth, that it can show the way to a lost world. If you know its value, you will believe its power, and you will shine the light of Christ. The key word is faith. I believe. Truth is, sometimes we don't shine because we don't believe that it matters. And if it doesn't matter, then I have no responsibility for it. And the Beatitudes are simply a suggestion by God. But it tells us if you refuse to walk in the light, if you refuse to be the light, brothers and sisters, the darkness of this light, this life will engulf you. It's important to note that after Jesus tells his people about the source of the light and the importance of the light, he leaves them and hides from them so that they could be the light. Jesus left here and went there so that we could become the light. Not so that we could talk about the light, but so that we would be the light. This is the depth of the Beatitudes in the kingdom of heaven. Next is Philippians 2:12-15. So then, my beloved brother, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work, to desire and to do, for his good pleasure. There's a lot of reference to work in there. Do all things, all that work that you're supposed to be doing, without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. What we do, how we act, especially how we treat each other in here, really matters to the world. It is our witness that we are different when we grumble and argue, when we drag each other into our own insecurities. Our light to this world dims And this is no small matter. We need to prove ourselves blameless and innocent through how we treat each other. That's exactly what Scripture says. Brothers and sisters, God knows full well that this is work, that it is hard to do. And he says, go do the hard work. Work on the things you were called to work on. Do the things that are yours to do. God is doing his part. It says that God is working in you so you can do his will in this world. But you must work on what is yours to do. This tells us to work out our salvation, which is, by the way, the exact opposite of working to obtain salvation. This means fighting to obtain and maintain all that comes with the grace of God, being everything you can be in Jesus Christ. It says we should do this with fear and trembling. We should take this very seriously. View it as something that really matters in your life. Folks, it's not optional. We should be seriously concerned about how we treat each other, because this is not a casual directive. It's not a suggestion. We don't get to use the world's standards in the kingdom of heaven. If we do, we shine no brighter than they do. The lens of our light, of course, must be cleansed and focused by God. But while he's doing that, the cloth that covers part of our lens, but know that light is still coming out, and people see it, even if it's not perfect. It still works, because we're not perfect. But we still really matter, each one of us. We are still the way God has chosen to deliver this world out of darkness into his light. Living the Beatitudes is how we do this. Now, God is changing us so that we will desire to do his will, not our own. Basically, throughout your life, God is changing what you want. Because what you want has been changed, then you will do it. He's investing work in us so that he can reap the souls of those he does not wish to perish. It's an important job. Because we know this, we should keep an eternal perspective, especially in here, not grumbling about our lives or arguing with our brothers and sisters. We've been given a mission that must be accomplished together. If we are fighting in here, we are losing out there. And out there matters, we will all answer to God for the dimness of our light or be rewarded by him for its brightness. In this world, we pay to use power. In the kingdom of heaven, we get rewarded for using it. Our harmony proves that we are children of God. Our fellowship lights the earth with the love of God. Should we allow our insecurities, worldly pettiness, our pride and envy to jeopardize our divinely stated reason for even being here? Keep the eternal perspective. God never wants to hear grumbling or complaining, especially about each other. Remember how God grew tired of hearing Israel grumble and complain. He grew so tired that he was going to wipe them all out and start over with Moses. I just can't listen to this anymore. If we speak against each other to each other, if we disregard the opinions and importance of each other, if we are constantly fighting the wrong fights, then we have nothing to offer this world, and we're not doing what we were saved and called to do. God will use us to convict and correct that crooked and perverse world out there if we do not act crooked and perverse in here. This tells us that we must prove ourselves through how we treat each other. If you appear as light in this world by the command of God, do not allow the pettiness of pride and insecurity to dim your purpose. Work on it. Don't stop working on it until the work is done. We will all be working on our own lights right beside you. Ephesians 5, 6 through 10. Let not anyone deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That is a summary of sanctification, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You see, the stakes are very high and very real. The wrath of God, not reproof, comes to the disobedient. Stop being them. Stop being what this world has taught you. Now you are the light of the Lord. You know, he never asked us if we wanted to be. He simply told us that we are. This is our mission, whether we choose to accept it or not. Either way, you'll answer for it. How do you know if you're walking in the light that God has told you to be? Does your life consist of only goodness, righteousness, and truth? He names them for us. If not, then try to learn what Scripture, fellowship, and the Holy Spirit have been working together to teach you. The things that are pleasing to God, the things that define a life well lived in the kingdom of heaven. And the Beatitudes are a good place to begin learning what is pleasing to God and what is a light to this world. If you are not growing and glowing, then you are simply traveling around the sun in vain, and next year will be no different than this year. And anything you do here matters little, both here and now, and there and then. So Scripture tells us three things. Believe in the light, work on being the light, and learn to be the light. Proverbs 4:19 states, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." This tells us your path is to grow and to glow brighter and brighter every moment of your life. A little brighter tomorrow than it was today. This is why you're still here, to grow and to glow, to shine with grace on a poor, sad world. John 1:4-5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You see, Jesus Christ left us here to help them see and comprehend it. I must be honest, there are times when I flicker more than I shine. As most of us know, a flickering bulb isn't very helpful. In fact, it's rather annoying. But usually when this happens, it's because the bulb isn't anchored into the socket. You got to twist it a little tighter. And for us, the socket consists of Scripture, it consists of fellowship, and it consists of prayer. These are the things that connect us to the power of the Holy Spirit and to Jesus Christ. To glow as we should, we need to be secure in these things. Brothers and sisters, we glow much more brightly together than we ever will as individuals. The more we join together in fellowship, the greater our light becomes. And I don't need to blow out anyone else's candle for mine to shine brighter. I must fan the flame of everyone in here for God to be seen by this world. Which Dwight L. Moody wrote, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we don't need to tell anyone that it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Because it's not about us. It's about them. Because the goats matter to God, they should matter to the sheep. We shine for them, and we shine by living the Beatitudes." And I leave you with this gentle reminder of who you are in Jesus Christ. If this doesn't make you shine, then you will not shine. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." That's who you are. Live like it. Shine like it. Amen. Next week, we'll take a look at stress. Both what dims our light and what makes us grow, because a bulb shines because of resistance. Friction causes both heat and light. Which one of those we give off is up to us. Amen.